Perhaps an important question we should ask some of our patients. Hello and welcome to this week's Urgent Bite, brought to you by the Royal New Zealand College of Urgent Care. My name is Guy Melrose and today I'm reflecting on a recent paper I've read. I've mentioned in a previous podcast the GP Research Review newsletter you can subscribe to that provides monthly précis of recent papers relevant to general practice. Well, this month it directed me to a paper from the BMC Family Practice Journal, which is an open access journal, and the paper is titled A Steep Increase in Healthcare Seeking Behaviour in the Last Months Before Colorectal Cancer Diagnosis. And it was authored by Josefina Kuiper et al. And comes out of the Netherlands. I've linked to it in the show notes for you all to read. Now, as always, I read these GP reviews very much with the urgent care hat on, and so when I read that this study found a statistically significant increase in GP visits in the months leading up to a diagnosis of colorectal cancer, this made me ponder some of the many different types of consultations that come through our doors. In urgent care, we are predominantly there for acute illness and injury, not severe enough to be considered life and limb threatening. These should be going to an emergency department, but also conditions that cannot wait for a regular GP or family practitioner to see. We're not there to provide ongoing care, with the exception of fracture follow-up and some wound cares, and at the end of our consultations we have usually either referred the patient to an appropriate specialty, referred them back to their usual doctor, or completed treatment to our satisfaction such that no routine follow-up is required. This transient relationship with our patients and the ability to have a quick and satisfying impact on their healthcare journey is one of the many reasons we choose to work in urgent care. But patients do sometimes present with more chronic and less easily differentiated problems. On these occasions, our duty of care to the patient means that we assess for an acute issue that needs treatment or referral that day, and then we initiate a plan that will include a follow-up with their usual GP. It is difficult to sometimes work out how much is needed to be done at that consultation, and we do not have the benefit afforded to the GP of being able to arrange a follow-up the following week to continue the process. We have this one chance to interact with the patient and impact their health. If you add to the mix a long waiting time, busy waiting room, more serious immediate conditions calling you away, it is easy to see how we might gloss over the less acute, more chronic complaints. We might also rush that last part of the consultation, the safety netting and follow-up. But it is important that we think about our consultation within the spectrum of consultations that this patient has had for this complaint. Where we are on that spectrum, as suggested by this study, might indicate more serious pathology underlying this person's reason for seeing you that day. When we take a history, we ask how long the symptoms have been present. We ask about red flag symptoms. We have differentials on our mind and work through those in determining the next path of action. But I think a question I will start to ask, particularly in the context of a grumbling abdominal pain and constipation, is how many presentations to a doctor or nurse have you had during these symptoms? This will include trips to GPs, urgent care, and EDs, and we should try and ascertain if this has been to a wide mix of clinics. It is possible in bigger cities to see several urgent care clinics and EDs, and so each one may have only seen the patient once, to their knowledge. This means that repeat visits are not easily flagged by looking at the clinical notes in any one centre. If a patient has seen multiple clinicians for this problem, this should perhaps make us consider some of the differentials more seriously at our consultation, and perhaps look to make that referral which we might have previously left to the GP, or perhaps even look to ensure that GP follow-up has definitely been arranged, and that your concerns are clearly relayed to that GP in your notes, and perhaps even a quick phone call. Safety netting and ensuring good follow-up is always important for all conditions, and adequate time to make sure this happens effectively should always be given. And of course, the vague early symptoms of colorectal cancer are difficult to identify, and a one-off consultation to an urgent care without any red flag symptoms being present make it difficult to diagnose or make a focused referral. But identifying those patients who have been frequent attenders in the preceding months could at least raise our suspicion levels and compel us to ensure follow-up happens, and not just presume it will. Now, if you have any comments, questions, suggestions, or corrections, email podcast@rnzcuc.org.nz. We'll be back again next week with another podcast. I look forward to seeing you all then. But for now, thanks for listening.